Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
Excited?
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment.
Unbelievable!
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging with you guys over the next 4 hours, where you can find us across all of the platforms. We're live 24/7 on the BetMGM Network and on the free Odyssey app. You can check us out on Twitch at BetMGM Network. Check us out on YouTube at the BetMGM Network if you want to watch us. How about Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus, and more? And if you'd like to listen to us, Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. And throughout these 4 hours, hit me up on social media. I'm on Twitter at Femi Abebefe. I'm on Instagram at Femi_Abebefe. Check out the show on Twitter at You Better You Bet and the entire network at BetMGM Network. We got the whole crew hanging with us here on this Friday. We have Tyler Morales, Jake Hassan, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Addie Bates, Nick Kostos. He's out today. Nick will be back on Sunday with You Better You Bet's countdown to kickoff, but filling in for the Prop King. You know him, you love him, you see him up and down the network. The great PJ Glasser, host of Send It In weekdays 1 to 1:30 Eastern. Hit him up on Twitter at PJGlasser9. PJ, happy Friday, my friend. How we doing this afternoon?
Femi, we're doing great. Happy Friday to you. One day a week with you just wasn't enough. I had to make it too. You
know, oh,
I had
it was to come not.
By. It was not enough. We had to recap what we saw last night, Cowboys and Lions. Now we're getting ready to talk about that. And then, I mean, everything we got going on this weekend. If you're a college sports fan, tomorrow, just a spectacular day with all the championship games in college football, fantastic basketball slate, and then the NFL slate, which we were talking about on Tuesday, that's going to be awesome on Sunday. Yes. Looking forward to that. I know we're going to talk some World Cup on the show today, Femi. That's what I was watching this morning. We had the draw, the lottery, so... Getting me fired up about soccer already. I'm already looking at the schedule, figuring out what games I'm going to try and go to and, you know, spend $3,000 on or whatever.
I can't believe the draw is over with how long they were drawing that bad boy out. Like, I thought the draw was going to last the entire day. And we'll get into that because I'm very much pumped up for the World Cup coming up next summer. There's a United States game in Seattle. Your boy's going to have to be there. Let's just put it that way. Gotta go back home for the World Cup match in Seattle. United States taking on Australia. We'll get into some World Cup with our buddy Anthony DeBundo coming up later on at 4:20. Of course, Anthony DeBundo does a great job with the Ringer Soccer Show as a betting analyst for the Ringer. But he's not the only betting analyst and guest that will be on the program on this Friday, because 40 minutes from now, PJ mentioned it, conference championship weekend is here. And to help us break that down, college football betting analyst at the Action Network, host of the Big Bets on Campus podcast, the great Colin Wilson, will check in with his usual Friday spot here on You Better You Bet. Kind enough to join us at 3:40 Eastern time. He's going to give us all of his best bets for the conference championship games, and plus Is Notre Dame going to make the CFP? You can bet that, by the way, folks, over at BetMGM. Bet to make or miss the college football playoff. We'll ask Colin in 40 minutes. 1 hour from now, NFL and betting analyst over at Yahoo Sports, Frank Schwab, will join us once again here on You Better You Bet. We haven't talked to Frank in a while. I think it was the summertime was the last time we had Frank on, but always a pleasure catching up with Frank as he can give us his best bets on the National Football League and also his takes on the biggest topics around the NFL. And what, like I mentioned, Anthony DeBundo at 4:20 talking all things World Cup draw as we know who the United States will be playing in the first match in the World Cup. USA versus Paraguay in Los Angeles, June 12th. Cannot wait to break down the World Cup draw with our guy Anthony DeBundo from The Ringer. But let's, unfortunately, PJ, get into what we saw last night. The Dallas Cowboys lose to the Detroit Lions 44-30. It felt like everyone that we spoke with on the show yesterday, everyone that I saw on social media, everyone loved Dallas. And I try not to think of, oh man, public underdog, trendy dog. Like, some of that, I just don't think that stuff really matters that much. But it did feel like it mattered last night where we're all on the same team. And it's like we're sheep going to the slaughterhouse as the Lions bounce back. As the Lions, hey, you're not going to get them losing back-to-back games. Uh-uh. The Detroit Lions now 15 straight times they have been able to bounce back, which is an NFL record. But to me, my takeaway, PJ, after last night's game and during last night's game, I should say, it didn't look like Dallas was ready for the moment. And I don't mean that to be like cliche, like, oh, like they weren't clutch or whatever. No, like just in terms of what was required to win that kind of a game on the road against another team that was in a desperate spot, Dallas did not look ready. And I think it starts with the head coach and Brian Schottenheimer and how he approached the game. Because Shoddy left a lot to be desired in some of the decisions he was making, whether to go for it or to kick a field goal. And I know that's not what the game really came down to, but it really was jarring watching it. And I was talking to Bill Zimmerman, our executive producer, earlier this afternoon as we were getting ready for the show. And I thought the Cowboys lost the game at the end of the first half and at the beginning of the second half. Like, there was a chance with the Cowboys down 17-6. All right, we're down 11. Let's at least try to get some points before the half, make sure that this drive that we're on is the final possession of the first half, and then we get the ball to start the second half. Like, that's how you get back into the football game. What happened instead? Well, instead of going for it on a 4th-and-4, which I thought they definitely should have gone for it, given the fact that their defense couldn't get any stops, they decide, hey, we're going to kick this field goal. And yeah, Brandon Aubrey, he's got range from like 85 yards. Like, that dude's nails. And I totally get it, taking the points. But you were giving the ball back to the Lions. The Lions were going to be able to respond. And they did. So instead of going into the locker room down by 8, or maybe even down by 4 or 3, like, you're now down by 11 as they kick the field goal. And then you start the second half with an interception. Ball game. Now you're down 27-9. It was just not a good sequence for the Dallas Cowboys. And once that happened, they were playing from behind the rest of the way. And with the way that defense was playing, which we'll get into with what Matt Eberflus was doing, they were never going to get back into the football game. So the Cowboys, they fall to 6-6-1. But I felt they were not really ready for the moment after the way they could not execute against a desperate Detroit Lions team.
Femi, my issue with the end of that first half, and you're right, that was a big turning point for Dallas because they should have at least gotten 3 like they did, but they gave the Lions the ball back with way too much time. If people remember, I want to say Dallas, it was that 4th down, and maybe it was like a minute and 15 to go, and the clock was running, right? Detroit had 2 timeouts left, and instead of Dallas like rushing to the line and making it look like they were going to go for the 4th down, and Dak giving out hand signals and just giving the illusion, just making Dan Campbell think that maybe they were going to go for it, because like you said, you thought they should have. A lot of people probably thought they should have. It wouldn't have surprised anybody if they did, but the fact that they chilled. They sat back. They were running off the field. They were bringing Aubrey on. That's when Dan Campbell's like, well, if they're going to kick it, then I'm just going to call timeout.
Call timeout, yeah.
Right, and save all that time. Like, because Dan Campbell was in that situation where he doesn't want to call a timeout when it's fourth down because there's still a minute 15 left, so the last thing you want to do is call a timeout, let Dallas think about what they want to do, and then they save theirs. But as soon as the Cowboys, like, brought the clock down and then, you know, called timeout, I just thought the way that Schottenheimer handled that was really, really bad. And, you know, those are the things to me, like when we grade head coaches, you know, we talk about like schemes and we talk about all, I mean, clock management, Femi, and like those kinds of decisions and knowing when to kick and knowing when to go for it. And you bring the focus on Schottenheimer, and I think rightfully so. I look at one of the keys to the game last night was Dallas really never put Dan Campbell in an uncomfortable situation. As much as we all love Dan Campbell, and I think he's one of the best coaches in the league, he loses the Lions probably more games than he should because of how aggressive he is and how much he goes for it. And we saw that in the NFC title game against the Niners a couple years ago. We've seen it against the Eagles this year in the regular season. We've seen it against the Chiefs. Like, in these high-profile games, Dan Campbell is going to trust his offense. And a lot of times, it shoots him in the foot. And last night, there really wasn't a opportunity for him to roll the dice. You know, it felt like every time he kicked the field goal, it was like 4th and 10, 4th and 15, when that's when he should have done it. But there was never a time... Yeah, it was obvious. There was never a time when it was like one of those 4th and 6s, and pretty much 95% of coaches kick it, and Dan Campbell goes for it. So, it's a great point to bring up the end of that first half, because I just thought Dallas could have handled that so much better. They could have taken 20 to 25 seconds off the clock, left Detroit with one timeout, and 35, 40 seconds would have been a lot harder for them to get a field goal. It would have been a one possession game, and then they would have had the ball coming out of the locker room. Instead, Detroit also answers with the field goal. They get a stop, go up 27-9. And even though, you know, Dallas came back, they made it interesting, it just never felt like the Cowboys were ever going to win that game. Even when they cut it to 3, you just never really felt like they were going to win. And I think that those kind of final minutes of the first half were a huge turning point in that game.
And I think, like, obviously hindsight being 2020, of course, like, you can think back, it's like, wow, like, I should have seen this all coming. But, like, based on how we were framing the game yesterday, PJ, and I'm sure you did the same, like, we were all coming at this from the perspective of, hey, like, Dallas, this is a playoff game. They need to win this game. And also, too, like, you could have made that argument for Detroit as well, by the way. Now, I didn't think Detroit was in as dire a situation as Dallas was, because they still have the Bears in Week 18, and they still have some other good opponents where they can creep back up into the NFC playoff picture. But, like, this was as close to a playoff game as you would get on a December 4th. Brian Schottenheimer has never coached a playoff game.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't know what is required to win those kinds of games. And you mentioned Dan Campbell, he rolls the dice, but he at least has the experience of being in a playoff game. He's led a team to an NFC title game. Jared Goff has been to a Super Bowl before when he was with the Rams. Like, the Lions had way more experience with this kind of intense of a football game, knowing have to paying attention to detail and all the things that go into winning games against desperate opponents. And the Cowboys, like, yeah, Dak has some experience, but he's never made it past the divisional round. You know, like, George Pickens, I mean, like, what is a wild card round is his experience, as he no-showed the game, which we can get into George Pickens here. But, like the Cowboys just didn't look like they were ready for what the Lions were bringing to the table. And it's unfortunate, because now they put themselves in a pretty big hole here. Like, there are playoff hopes, PJ, is on life support. Like, there's still a path for them to make it, although be it a very, very narrow path. But you need the Eagles to really collapse, lose on Monday, lose to the Commanders, lose to the Bills, and you still have to win out. Like, that's what the Cowboys need, because the wild card is out of the question. It's NFC East or bust now for the Dallas Cowboys, to where I don't know how you could feel good about this team playing January football after taking the L last night.
You know, it's just funny, isn't it, how seemingly everybody forgot before last night's game leading up to it how great the Lions are off of a loss. You mentioned it. They've won their last 15 games off of a loss. They're 14-1 against the spread in those games. But did you feel like anybody was talking about that going into this one? Whereas in their previous 5 losses this season, or 4 losses, that's all anybody wanted to talk about. Week 1, they look awful against Green Bay. oh, but we know how the Lions play after a loss week two against the Bears. Chicago found that out. And then, you know, they lose to Kansas City. Oh, you're getting the Lions off of a loss. They look pretty good. All these times we talked about it, but nobody wanted to talk about that because we were so focused on Dallas and how they had been playing. And it's why I liked the Lions last night in the game and why I took a minus the three. I just felt like there was too much love for Dallas, and it was a nice buy low spot for Detroit. And again, Femi, we said it on Tuesday, it was a playoff game. It was a must win for both teams, especially the Cowboys. And I mean, we just see how it's been for Dallas the last 20-25 years in high leverage games and playoff like games. They just don't play like they should. I thought offensively they were good enough to win the game. I mean, they scored 30 points, 5.5 yards per play, but defensively, for all the strides that they had made here as of late, it felt like the Lions could just do whatever they wanted last night.
I mean, how about this for the defense, PJ? The defense, once again, coordinated by Matt Eberflus. Nobody's confusing him for Bill Belichick. This is from Bobby Belt over at our Odyssey station, 105.3 The Fan down in Dallas. He tweeted this last night, and it really does sum up the Matt Eberflus game plan. He tweeted that the Cowboys pressured Jared Goff four times on his first six dropbacks, blitzing him three times on those six dropbacks. They then pressured him four times over his next 29 dropbacks, blitzing him just five times. Like, they were blitzing him early, getting home, and then for some reason, Eberflus is like, oh, it's just too uncomfortable for me. I got to go back into soft zone coverage. And then they got absolutely lit on fire the rest of the night. Outside of the first couple drives of the game, you knew the Lions were getting points. The only question was, is it 7 or 3? You knew they were getting points. Is it 7 or 3? And the Lions did whatever they wanted, hanging 44 points on them after we all thought Dallas had made strides. Like, Eberflus did not meet the moment. Shoddy didn't meet the moment. And the team just didn't look prepared as they're now sitting here as a massive long shot to try to get to the postseason.
It's going to be fun to watch Lions at Rams next week. Another big game for Detroit. How do they handle? They get a little extended rest. The Rams also have the Seahawks coming up on Thursday after playing the Lions. Yep. So that's a fun kind of game that we have next Sunday.
Oh, we will talk more about the Detroit Lions and their playoff lives that got a jolt after last night's result. But I got some more for George Pickens after what we saw last night. This is You Better You Bet. Just getting started here on a Friday. Femi Bebefe and PJ Glasser.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply, in app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi Abebefe, PJ Glasser, hanging out with you guys on this Friday. 20 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Colin Wilson, college football betting analyst over at the Action Network, to break down all of the conference title games, the massive ones. 1 versus 2 in the Big Ten. We got Georgia, Alabama in the SEC. BYU, Texas Tech in the Big 12, though a game a lot of people will be watching, especially those of you who reside in South Bend, Indiana, a pretty massive game down there in Jerry World. So we'll talk conference title games with Colin Wilson coming up in 20 minutes. But PJ, I was actually looking over at BetMGM right now at the make-miss playoff prices for both the Dallas Cowboys and the Detroit Lions after the Lions beat Dallas 44-30 last night on Thursday Night Football. The Cowboys now to make the playoffs, there's still a chance. Plus 700 just to make the postseason for the Dallas Cowboys. The Detroit Lions with last night's win, minus 150. So Detroit now odds on to make the postseason. And I agree with that. I think Detroit is going to end up getting there, even if they lose to the Rams next week, which is a pretty big game. We'll talk Lions coming up here later on in this segment, but we can't talk about this game and not talk about George Pickens. I feel like a lot of the guys that were getting the Cowboys defense is playing well. Nope, they regressed to the mean last night. George Pickens extension. I was even saying the Cowboys should extend George Pickens. Like, I was all in. Like, oh, look how great this guy is. He's incredibly talented. And last night is why the Pittsburgh Steelers decided to trade George Pickens. Now, like, this doesn't throw out what he's done this entire season. I mean, he's been one of the best receivers in the league. He's probably going to end up like second team all pro at the end of the season. But in a massive game where CeeDee Lamb leaves the game with a concussion, and Lamb had been going off, 6 catches for 121. He was cooking. You know, about the only Cowboy that showed up for the whole night. But Lamb leaves the game. This is the time where George Pickens needs to step up. And George Pickens, 5 catches, 37 yards, jogging through routes, just like being soft at the point of attack. He was on planet George. He was not at Ford Field last night, because I don't know what we saw, but that was the worst game from George Pickens at the worst possible time when the Cowboys needed him the most. And that is why he's on the Dallas Cowboys and no longer on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I thought it was pathetic what George Pickens did last night. Curious to get your thoughts, PJ, because boy, if he wants to be paid like a number one wide receiver, it can't look like how it looked last night in the loss to the Lions.
No, I mean, he was terrible. It's crazy that CeeDee Lamb looked like the CeeDee Lamb that we all kind of know him to be, right? And when he's at his best, mm-hmm. he was great last night, but Pickens was just a big no-show. And it's a shame, because he's been so great all season for Dallas, has been so consistent. But last night, man, I think about the play, Femi. I think it was like 3rd and 19 when Aubrey drilled like the 63-yarder, and he was almost like jogging up the side of the field, right?
Yes.
Like the DB for Detroit was playing back. He was 3rd and long. Like, he wasn't going to get beat deep. And Pickens, like, didn't even try and, like, run and then, you know, have a comeback and get, like, a 13-yard completion, where maybe you think about he was just kind of strolling and jogging along, and then the DB breaks. It's an incomplete pass. Dak, even, they showed it. The replay was, like, yelling at Pickens. So it's stuff like that. I mean, you know, that kind of, those kinds of games show you that Pickens, like, it's still the same old Pickens. He can have a great stretch of games and be awesome, but when it's tough, when it's bright lights, and either he's not getting the ball or he's not going crazy, he's not making explosive plays, like, his attitude suffers and then his play suffers because of that. And it's a shame. They really needed him to be as good as he had been. And then especially when Lamb went down, they needed him to make some big plays. But I think that's a big part of why Dallas struggled a little bit last night. Even though their offense played well, this recent stretch when they've been playing good football, it's been because of Pickens. You know, like, he's almost that spark plug for Dallas. Mm-hmm. The team feeds off that, all those big plays, those great catches that he makes. And when he's just kind of moping around out there and not having any effect on the game, it affects the rest of his teammates. So, Femi, you rightfully should be going after Pickens today, because that, in a must-win game, that was just not anywhere near the kind of performance you needed out of him.
No, it was pathetic. It was an abysmal performance. And I know, like, he's been going after people on social media because, like, Richard Sherman on the broadcast last night in the postgame show really singled him out as, like, hey, like, this guy did not show up for the Dallas Cowboys. And I think he's since deleted the Instagram story that he put up there bashing Richard Sherman, which it's like, yeah, man, okay, you can do that. But, like, Richard Sherman's a Super Bowl champion. Like, he knows what it's supposed to look like. What the hell have you won, George Pickens? Like, you've won that. Like, in fact, the team that drafted you said, we want no parts of you. Let's send you away. Not because you're not a good player, but because of stuff like this. So it was just a really disappointing performance from George Pickens, who absolutely mailed it in last night at the worst possible time that he could do so. On the other side, the Detroit Lions, they have a wide receiver that I thought set the tone for their team. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown. All week long, we thought Amon-Ra St. Brown was not going to play in the game. Suffered the ankle injury on Thanksgiving against Green Bay. DNP. Did not practice at all this week. Now, after the fact, it sounds like he got some work done after practice is what he was telling the post-game show. Is that on Monday, I believe it was, is when he found out then thought that he could play in the game. Or it might have been Tuesday when he said that he knew that he could play in the game, running some routes post-practice. But technically did not practice at all during the week. And we all saw the tweets as we were wrapping up the show yesterday on You Better You Bet about Amon-Ra out there and giving the thumbs up to people saying, hey, I'm playing, running full speed. And he didn't have like the greatest game statistically. Like, Amon-Ra St. Brown has had much better games than 6 catches for 92 yards, but still, it's a really good game, especially given the fact that he was dealing with the ankle injury. And I thought him being on the field, PJ, I thought that really set the tone for the Detroit Lions and showed them that, hey, this is an important game. We got our guy. We're about toughness, and it starts with Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I thought it really fueled that offense and really kind of put them where they needed to be against a defense that clearly was not up to snuff in the game.
1,000%. Even when Amon-Ra is not at 100%, just the stress that he creates on the defense, right? Just the thought of him getting the ball opens things up for J-Mo, opens things up for Gibbs, who also had big nights receiving. I absolutely love that the Detroit Lions got the ball first, and the very first play of the game was a 7-yard out route to Amon-Ra. Get him going, get the crowd into it, let him get tackled, let him make sure that the ankle's all right, all those things. I mean, God forbid Kevin Petullo and the Eagles would take a page out of that book with A.J. Brown, right? I mean, it's that easy. Like, it's that easy. Guys, you know, I mean, and Amon-Ra wasn't even complaining, obviously. He was just hurt, but they get him going. I mean, it really is that easy, and I thought that was a great play call by Dan Campbell. That was a great thought by the Lions, and they really never looked back from there. But yeah, all things considered, I mean, I didn't expect Amon-Ra to play last night, and he looked really, really good. So just the thought of him out there. And what was even more impressive for the Lions, Femi, was, I mean, Detroit really didn't even run the ball all that well. Gibbs had 3.6 yards per carry. He was 12 for 43. And outside of the long run that Montgomery had for the 35-yard touchdown, he really didn't do all that much on the ground either, for the most part, if you take away that big run. So it was really just J-Mo and Amon-Ra and Gibbs killing them on the through the air. That was really the big difference in the game. And then Gibbs finding a way to score touchdowns when they were inside the 10-yard line. But yeah, Amon-Ra out there, such a key piece to the Lions. Certainly another reason why I'm sure so many people liked Dallas last night, because of what a key piece he is to that offense and to that team. But he looked good and looked like his old self last night.
Yeah, he was awesome last night. Up to J-Mo was awesome. Gibbs is awesome. Like, the Lions, like, they just have so many explosive playmakers, which is why, like, you could easily fall in love with this team. And it wasn't just on offense. I thought defensively, their pass rush dominated the game. Like, I know Dallas had 400 yards and 5 yards per play, and they were able to put up 30 points, but it never really felt like Dak Prescott was comfortable back there in the pocket, because his tackles, quite frankly, were getting their asses kicked. Like Al-Qadim Muhammad, he might make the Pro Bowl off of last night's game. Like, 3 sacks, just destroying Terrence Steele. Aiden Hutchinson, he didn't necessarily get a sack, but he was creating constant pressure, beating up on Nate Thomas. Tyler Guyton out for the game, and luckily it sounds like he's going to be fine for next Sunday when the Cowboys play on the Minnesota Vikings. But, like, the fact that those tackles could not hold up in protection really just put Dallas behind the eight ball. The Cowboys had so many times that they were at 2nd and 19, 2nd and 20, 2nd and 25, just because they were taking negatives on first down. You can't win that way. And kudos to this Lions defense that kind of is like sort of an afterthought. But what Kelvin Shepard's been able to do, given the injuries that they've taken in the secondary, and they got another one last night with Brian Branch tearing his Achilles, I thought the Lions defense really showed up and were the more physical unit there. And it started up front with Al-Qadeen Muhammad and Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Branch injury. With him going down, they're going to need that pass rush to continue to be really good, because if the opposing quarterback, especially when they play a good team and a good offense, if he has a lot of time back there to throw, it could be a long night for that Lions secondary. But no, I agree. I thought they were good. They did what they needed to do, right? They held down the Cowboys offense for a majority of that game. They didn't score a touchdown until the middle, late third quarter. So, I mean, against that offense, especially the way that they had been playing, they were terrific. The Lions got that big lead, 27-9. And then, you know, they started to get tired a little bit. Dallas started to move the ball. They started to score some points. But at that time, it was a little bit too late. So I kind of think that's going to be the formula moving forward for the Lions. Because, again, with all the injuries that they have in the secondary, they're just going to give up points when they face good teams. I think it's going to be important for them to have great game plans going into the game, to do everything that they can to limit those teams in the first half, try and build the lead, and then, you know, those teams will make their run in the second half, but then you just hope that it's too little too late and the Lions offense can kind of close the door at the end. But yeah, that'll be, to me, the big thing moving forward. I don't think we have any questions really about this Lions offense. Maybe it's just a question of, again, if they go for it a lot on fourth down, like how many of those fourth downs do they end up getting? But that was what killed them last year when they lost to Jaden Daniels in Washington, was all those injuries that they had on defense. It's brutal that it's kind of happening to them again. But yeah, Femi, if they can force turnovers, pressure the quarterback like they did last night, and the Lions offense can look like they did last night, then Detroit will be looking like the team that a lot of people thought they would be coming into the season.
Well, let's spin it forward then, because the Lions are going to be down both of their starting safeties. Brian Branch is done for the rest of the season. Kirby Joseph, it sounds like he's going to come back. Maybe he's able to come back next week when they take on the Rams. They have a little bit of a break here with the mini bye week, having now played on Thursday. So we'll have to wait and see until next Wednesday to get some confirmation on Kirby Joseph. But if he's unable to play, he's been dealing with a knee injury since week 6. Like, that's how bad that injury has been. We all saw him, like, limping around in that game when they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. But they're banged up in the secondary. Terrion Arnold, he has the shoulder injury. We're probably not going to see him the rest of the regular season. How far can this team go, PJ? Because, like, you look at their schedule, it's not too crazy. At Rams is tough. Then they host the Steelers. Then they're on the road at the Minnesota Vikings. That'll be a little revenge game after the Vikings beat them in Detroit. And then week 18 is a tough game at the Chicago Bears, which, who knows what the temperature is. And when you have a quarterback like Jared Goff, that's a pretty big deal. But like, you hear those four games, what's the Detroit Lions record in those four games? Like, is it 3-1? Is it 2-2? Do they run the table and win all four? Like, your best guess right now, a team that is now favored to make the playoffs, how do you think those final four games go for the Lions?
Yeah, I would probably say they're going to lose to the Rams next week. So they're going to drop to 8-6. I think they beat the Steelers. I think they beat the Vikings, who beat them in Detroit. So I think they get the get back game. That game's going to be on Christmas. So I think they're going to be 10-6 going into that Bears game. And it's going to be a massive game. And you just brought up the point that these two teams, Dallas and Detroit, I mean, obviously the Bears don't have too many players, especially at some of the key positions, with a lot of playoff experience. Caleb has never been there. Ben Johnson's in his first year as a head coach, so he's got to deal with all that in a playoff-like game. And the Lions were in a similar situation last year, where they were playing a game with massive stakes in Week 18 with the number one seed on the line in the NFC. So it will be tough to beat a team two times. We all know Jared Goff outdoors, and you figure Chicago late in December, early January, it's probably going to be cold, probably going to be windy, probably going to be some kind of snow or something
game
like that.
Let's say that's a win-in situation. Sunday Night Football, it's like game 272, Lions at the Bears, winner gets the seventh seed. Who would you bet in that game? Obviously, like the number, like we can talk about that as well, but like, who do you think would just win that football game?
Man, I don't know. That's a toss-up type game.
It's a hell of a game, isn't it?
Like,
who knows what? What's the temperature?
I mean, the storyline of like Dan Campbell going up against Ben Johnson and the Bears with the chance to do it. I actually think I'd like Chicago in the game, Femi. I actually do. I think Detroit would be a 3-point favorite. I would definitely bet the Bears plus 3, but I think the Bears have a chance to win that game. Yeah, I do.
Man, that's very fascinating.
Yeah,
but like, based on how that sets up, because I'm looking at the Chicago Bears price, and we can talk about this a little bit later on in the program as well. Bears to miss the playoffs is plus 260.
I would need more.
They got a tough schedule.
Yeah,
they got a tough schedule though, PJ.
No, they do. I would need more though.
They're a dog Sunday. You know, they have to play the Packers again. They got to go to the Niners, and they ended up. And you're projecting maybe 3-point dog week 18 against Detroit. I'd be holding on to a juicy price there if we end up getting that matchup in the winner-take-all 7-seed matchup in the NFC North. But we'll have plenty of time to talk about that as we march toward the end of the regular season. On the other side, let's talk some college football with our guy Colin Wilson of the Action Network, giving us his best bets for the conference title games next here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Let's get back to it here on a Friday on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi Abebefe hanging out with our guy PJ Glasser. PJ filling in for Nick Kostos. Nick will be back, of course, on Sunday. You Better You Bet's countdown to kickoff. Nick Kostos, Sam Panayotovich, as they'll get you set for the Sunday slate of games coming up at 11 o'clock Eastern time. Very much looking forward to this week 14 here, PJ, as we have a tasty slate. You said it at the top of the show, and I wholeheartedly agree that like this sports weekend is off the charts. Like, this is an off the chart. We're talking about it during the break a little bit about some of the conference title games, which we'll get into a little bit later on in the 5 o'clock hour. But you have the conference title games, you got college basketball that's given us a bunch of stuff. And then you have this NFL slate that there's only three games that don't have playoff implications. Like, this is a sports fan's dream. Like, sit in front of the 75-inch TV and just flourish, man. Like, this is what we all love about being sports fans.
It's unbelievable. You know, tomorrow I'm doing a Saturday show with our guy Paul Aspen inside the betting lines. The great Addy Bates will be producing. Mm-hmm. And I texted Addy today and I was like, you know, Addy, we could have a college basketball guest on the show tomorrow. And she's like, college basketball? I was like, yeah, have you seen the slate tomorrow? Like, we're so focused on football that we don't realize how many great college basketball games we have coming up. So it's an awesome sports weekend. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's a hell of a sports weekend. Like the basketball games, I mean, we had Gonzaga, Kentucky right as we get off of the air. And of course, we have obviously the awesome games in the Conference USA, Sun Belt coming up right as we get off the air. And then 8 o'clock Eastern. They're staggering the two games that might have playoff teams, which I do find, I appreciate very, very much. But yep. 7 o'clock Eastern, Troy, James Madison. 8 o'clock Eastern, North Texas in Tulane. And like, we're just cooking. Like, Friday night movie nights are no more. you got to lock in front of the television. And then it gets you ready for Saturday, where Saturday is going to be an all-day affair.
I love it. I love the Friday championship games. You know, it kind of like jumps on you again because you're so focused on like Saturday college football. But yeah, we get four games tonight. And the Tulane, North Texas, that's a playoff game. James Madison is trying to win that game against Troy and then wait around to see how the ACC championship turns around. So it's going to be awesome. Love that we get four games today and then five tomorrow.
Well, and to help us break down those games, because we have some awesome games to get to tonight and tomorrow, is college football betting analyst over at the Action Network, host of the Big Bets on Campus podcast, the great Colin Wilson, joining us here on You Better You Bet. You can hit him up on Twitter at _Colin1. Colin, PJ and I were just talking about all the awesome conference title games that we have. The Big Ten title game, the biggest one, 1-2, Ohio State taking on Indiana in Indianapolis. Maybe the Heisman Trophy up for grabs. How do you see that game playing out where the Buckeyes right now laying 4 over at BetMGM?
I don't think it's a maybe. I think the Heisman Trophy is up for grab in this game. And you know, I think I've seen enough straw polls, and I've got to vote myself on this, and I think I've heard enough to where this is Fernando Mendoza's chance to win it. And if Indiana does not pull this game out, you're probably looking at a Diego Pavia Heisman win. And I've seen Diego's number come down a little bit today. I think people are using that as sort of an Ohio State money line number. The narrative that's being pushed on Julian Sain, now his numbers are excellent. He's number one in the nation on target rate, but I think the narrative being pushed is all the help that he gets with his team. And it's just hard to make a vote for that when you have so many other players on offense and defense that you could point to that are the reason for Ohio State's success. So yeah, this is a part of the Heisman Trophy. I do think Indiana is going to win this game. There are certain things in the run concepts for Ohio State's defense where I think Kalen Black is going to be able to line up and man block assignments and just run through the Ohio State front. It is going to be a close game. I have no disrespect for what Ohio State has done this season. There's just some things from their run defense where they've allowed a couple of explosives and a couple wrong run concepts can get them. If the Indiana team that shows up to Oregon, that punched Oregon in the face and plays physical like that with this Ohio State team, they will win the Big Ten outright and be the number one overall seed.
Wow, which would be crazy. Can't wait for that one. Also can't wait for the one in Atlanta, Colin. Georgia and Alabama, a rematch from earlier this season. Georgia favored by 2.5. Total is 47.5. Who do you like to win the game? And then do you think there is a chance Bama misses the playoff if they lose to Georgia?
Don't, because the committee did this little cute thing where they slipped Alabama one spot ahead of Notre Dame in the rankings for no reason. They just decided, oh, you escaped Auburn. We're going to slip you up to 9. We're going to keep Notre Dame back at 10, and we're going to let Notre Dame potentially be the one that gets swapped out. So I don't think even if Alabama loses this game that they're going to get knocked out. I mean, potentially the 11 seed. We'll have to see what shakes out with BYU. Have to see what shakes out with G5. But for this game, I've told you know we've talked about this between Georgia and Alabama. Nobody plays better in the first quarter in the nation than Alabama. Their offensive scoring differential, their defensive scoring differential, Kalen DeBoer, the scripted portion of his games, and this dates back to Washington, they are excellent in the first quarter. Well, the problem is that Georgia is the number one adjusting team in the nation. They're always number one in the middle eight. They always make adjustments, and they come out with their hair on fire in the second quarters and, you know, put on a lot of points. So really, what is the best play here? If you have money on this game, It is to play Alabama in the first quarter. It's to buy Georgia sometime in the middle of the second quarter on a live number. Money that I have down right now, I have first half over 23.5. These teams generally score. They average around 35 points alone in the second quarter when they've faced each other the last few years. But there's a thing where Ty Simpson has to throw the ball. There's no running game with Alabama whatsoever. So he's going to have to look at Isaiah Horton. And Ryan Williams has been injured. He's been playing out of position. Isaiah Horton's really the one place they're going to go. Georgia doesn't really create a lot of pressure, so I think Alabama's going to be able to throw all over the place. At the same time, Alabama cannot defend the Georgia run. So if you're looking for me to say who's going to be the winner, I think it's probably going to come down to a last possession. And I hate to say this as a conspiracy theory, but I think the SEC refs might get involved. They don't want Alabama to lose this game. I'm not saying you're going to make a bet based on that, but they don't want Alabama to get knocked out of the playoff, and I don't want to bet against that either. So my advice for everybody, take a first half over and look to bet Georgia live when they're about plus three.
Some potential chicanery going on in Atlanta. The SEC title game between Alabama and Georgia. This is You Better You Bet. Femi Bebefe, PJ Glasser, hanging out with Colin Wilson of the Action Network, host of the Big Bets on Campus podcast on Twitter at _Colin1. How about the Big 12 title game down in Jerry World? A lot of eyeballs will be on this one, especially folks in Notre Dame and Miami. Texas Tech, 12.5 point favorites against BYU. Totals at 49.5. What do you like from a betting perspective? And also, if Tech wins in blowout fashion, do you think Notre Dame is still safe in going to the college football playoff?
Boy, that's a good question. Because this committee, what you're asking me really is to handicap the committee. And the committee chair is my athletic director here in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And I don't follow things that he says. I can't understand their logic. It doesn't make any sense. Miami should be a
neither can
game.
We, Colin.
They come up with... they come up with these rules like we can't do a head-to-head unless they're ranked right next to each other. Like, I can't even listen to you guys talk intelligently anymore, and you're supposed to be the representatives for our sport. Like, literally, put 12 odds makers on the board, and we'll get this figured out real quick. As far as this game goes, if there is a gotcha game that I think could happen from an upset perspective, it's this one. I do think BYU can win this game. Now, I power rate this game at 7. I would say that Texas Tech wins by 7. So I definitely like BYU and the points. There's a lot of feel-good going on up there with everybody showing up, supporting the program, donating more money to keep Kalani Sitake in his position, not going to Penn State. But other than that, when they played each other a few weeks ago, BYU thought that they could line up straight out of a bye, go down and play them in their home stadium, and line up and run inside zone against this defense. Well, you found out why Texas Tech paid $20 million to buy a defensive line, because they shut down Bear Bachmeier and they shut down L.J. Martin. And I don't think that's going to be the game plan this time. I think this is a conference championship game. They're going to go for it on fourth downs. Kalani Sitake is known to have a couple of fake punts in there. Plus, I don't think they're going to line up on first and 10 and just try to run inside zone with Bear Bachmeier and L.J. Martin. I think they're going to try to throw the ball to Chase Roberts, who's cleared for this game. So in this, I really do like BYU to cover. I know I hit it at 13. I saw one of the Sharper books this morning go down to 11.5, but I think you're good on BYU into single digits. I do think first half under 24.5 is what we're going to have to look at, because is BYU going to try to run the ball into the teeth of this defensive interior that dominates inside zone? It's not a good plan. I think they'll figure it out after a little bit, but I like the first half under, but I really like BYU to cover the number and shake Texas Tech a little bit.
Colin, in about a minute, your thoughts on the ACC title game between Virginia and Duke. What would be your bet in that game in about 60 seconds?
There's not an adjective I can give you for how bad the Duke defense is. Like, horrific, dumpster fire, you guys can come up with whatever you want, but it's bad. I mean, I couldn't even go through, like, bottom 10, what they are in so many different ways. And what that means is there's a lot of things that Virginia's going to do, mostly Jamari Taylor. He's had 20 rushing attempts this year, exceed 10 yards. Rush explosives are really Virginia's way of getting into field position to score. And rush explosives are the thing that Duke has had monster issues defending the entire season. And plus, they're terrible in a stat called finishing drives. So finishing drives is what is your points per attempt when your possession gets past the 40-yard line. Duke is 131st in the country defensively. They allow 4.5 points to teams that just cross the 40-yard line. Here's 4.5 points. The play in this game is Virginia over 30.5 team total points. It's kind of hard to handicap Darry Mensah, what that offense is going to do. Is the Virginia defense going to be able to get some havoc down? The better bet is to say Duke absolutely cannot defend against anybody. Virginia's going to score 31 points.
Absolutely love it. Colin, we got about 30 seconds left. What do you like in the American Conference Championship game tonight? North Texas taking on Tulane in about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, North Texas is not a great defense, and they've never been a great defensive line, and they've got about three players in the two deep that are questionable and probably not playing. And I think that's going to be rough against a Tulane team that runs a ton of run concepts that are just not going to be able to be defended. I mean, Jake Retzlaff, I didn't know he could even run when he played at BYU last year. He's got 14 running TDs to 14 passing TDs. So the ground game is not going to be stopped by North Texas. I like, if you can get Tulane at three, which it looks like it's coming back that way, I take the green wave.
There we go. All right, so Tulane plus three at home, too. It is on campus, so that'll be a nice home field advantage for Tulane. Winner of that game will be headed to the college football playoff. He is Colin Wilson, college football betting analyst over at the Action Network, host of the Big Bets on Campus podcast on Twitter at _Colin and the number one. Colin, we appreciate you. I know it's a busy time of year. Be well and good luck with the bets, buddy.
Thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you soon.
That is Colin Wilson over at the Action Network. On the other side, we kick off hour number two, talking NFL with Yahoo Sports, Frank Schwab.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.